A bloody podcast. It's not bloody, it's good.
And good morning, good evening, and welcome one and all. Welcome back to the Unsalted Popcorn Directionless Commentary Podcast, Doctor Who Bonanza Special. And the bit no one can see at the moment is that Morgan has got her hand over John's mouth to make sure he doesn't crash the theme tune, which is the first time he never has, which is quite good. And he's now peering at the screen, and we can't actually recognise Morgan because she's got new glasses on. So, hello to John and Morgan.
Hello.
And over there, now previously in the Blue Peter studio and now hanging out with the Grim Reaper, it is the beheaded Indie Queen herself, it is Laura.
Yo, hello.
And so we're finally back. We've all had our issues and problems and we're all deciding to settle down and pretend life is normal again. And we're going to be watching something about Doctor Who. I can't even remember what episode this is. I know it's not a very popular one and no one ever talks about it.
That's an awful episode.
Yeah, I mean, we didn't vote for it, frankly. Why are we watching this one, and which one is it?
We're watching this because it leads into the finale, so...
That's the only reason?
That's the only reason, is because, yeah, the ending's quite important, so I felt it justified.
You've been justifying it on a weekly basis.
I have not. We didn't talk about it for, like, the first two series.
You sure?
Yeah.
Yeah,
I bet if you were to go back and listen to every single episode, like the first like 12 we did, I did not mention it once.
Is that a call when we're talking about Christopher Eccleston's first words in Rose? You just say, yeah, well, there's no turn left.
That phrase does crop up quite regularly.
What are you going to ask, Morgan?
Where's that behind Laura?
It's the Grim Reaper behind Laura.
Which... By the way, leads me on to a funny story. There's a few where the Grim Reaper's concerned. There's a story we published the other day of a man who was arrested in... Oh dear, we've gone on to Teletubbies. Teletubbies and Thomas the Tank Engine. Story we published the other day. The man was arrested in Beccles, riding through the town on horseback... allegedly carrying an axe.
Oh, lovely.
And there had been, quote, an incident in the town bakery earlier that day. Now, I'm thinking if you're on horseback and there's an axe involved, incident is underselling the whole thing a tad. And I don't know if anybody cares or can see that here. We have one snoozing cat and two snoozing dogs. Right, so how we all been?
Yeah,
I got tested for little COVID-19.
And were you positive or negative?
I was negative.
Well, bang goes that theory then.
I've done three of them, and only two of them came back negative. the other one came back quote unquote inconclusive.
I was told that mine's might not work, might come back as void. And that's what they were saying on account of the fact that I discovered that I've not got a very good gag reflex.
Moving on.
Coming back, Gwen. Can we change our background? You always say next week, next week.
Well, I mean, when your house looks as mental as ours does, you don't need a virtual background. You're just looking nuts.
No, I'm quite liking the... are we twitching this, by the way, or is this just for fun?
No, I'm just doing it because I've not been able to do this for a few weeks. And the first time I did it, you broke the podcast, so...
Oh, God, yeah, that was that one, wasn't it? Well, I'm definitely recording this time. So let's just hope I do everything else after that, and then we're rocking. What else we talk? Did we talk about Christopher Eccleston last week? We did, didn't we?
We talked about the fact he was coming back.
Yeah, right. We've done that, and
we'll see him before. I do think. Well, we won't see him because Big Finish is an audio medium.
Yeah.
I think
he'll be on the cover.
I think,
and it will be a 15-year-old picture.
That's very true.
Well, I still use the cover of Sylvester McCoy's 1987 stuff. But I think he'll appear in Big Finish before the Ninth Doctor Adventures. I think they've announced it. They've announced it for the sole purpose of actually surprising us somehow.
Which they always fail to do, because they announce it and then you're expected to be surprised by the announcement which they've just announced.
I think there'll be some sort of Time Lord Victorious tie-in.
Do we want a brief chat about the tragic wormhole Laura fell down with all the sad men who don't like a female doctor, or should we just gloss over
that? They weren't all men. Did you not notice that?
I just assumed, I think.
No, well, this is the, what was it called? I Hate Jodie as the Doctor.
Something like that, yes, yes.
It was something, the word hate was involved.
Yeah.
But I saw it, it came up, for whatever reason, it came up as a suggested group, and it was a closed group, so I thought, well, I was wondering what kind of question they would ask you to get in. So I clicked join, saw the question, and then there's no way of deleting your application.
Yeah.
So I blocked both of the admins, because the last thing I wanted was for people to go onto Facebook, for me to get accepted into the group during the night, and for my participation in this group to be broadcast to 900 people.
Yes.
On people's Facebook walls. So I obviously, when they accepted, I was thankfully online when it happened, and as I'm always bloody online, aren't I? It's not a surprise. But I saw it and then just took those screenshots, and they were lovely. They're charming people. They are absolutely lovely, very, very pink.
Yep.
Men.
Yep.
With I don't know what kind of bacony euphemism I can give them.
Come on. I mean, what was the question you got asked?
What were they, please?
what was the question? It was just, wasn't it something on the lines of, there was one question and it was, do you feel that a man should be playing the traditionally male role of the Doctor?
I'm guessing there's only one way to answer that and get admitted into the group, isn't there?
Yeah, Joanna Lumley, obviously.
Who, funnily enough, right at this moment in time, is busy talking to some bloke in a reindeer hoodie about life in the Northern Lights.
It's the same people that heard there was a synopsis for the new James Bond film coming out, where James Bond is retired and the new 007 is a female operative.
Yeah.
And they came back and went, a woman James Bond? And you're like, no, that's not what they said. And you know what, even if they did.
Yeah.
You know, but that's not what they said. Daniel Craig's still James Bond.
You can't have a woman playing James Bond. Would you have a woman playing Nelson Mandela?
Absolutely. Or it's just like, but you couldn't get a woman playing James Bond anyway, because I don't think another woman would be that capable of misogyny and sociopathy.
I don't know. There are a couple on the comedy circuit I can think of off the top of my head who definitely cast me well in for the role. One of whom runs a gig in Brighton and blocked me a while back.
Well, I'm going to go 10, 9.
Okay. Right, very quickly, then we'll watch the episode. What are you going to say?
This better not be sexist.
Before we start the episode, can I just tell you my favourite piece of IMDb trivia I have ever found relating to an episode that we have watched?
Go on then. Then Morgan can speak, and then we'll do the episode.
It's a top piece of trivia on here.
Yep.
Billie Piper admitted that she'd forgotten how to play Rose and needed to watch past episodes to remind herself.
Hey!
How does she forget? That's the only thing she can do. Anyway.
How does she forget to play a character that she previously played less than like a year and a half
before? How do you forget to be Billie Piper when you're Billie Piper?
Yeah.
Mm.
But this is the person who once answered the question, what do you think is the worst sin? And she said, murder, because I think that's a sin, isn't it? So, you know, not the sharpest. Anyway, right, Morgan, you were going to say.
Morgan, what were you going to say? A better be bloody good after this. And how's Scott's in next week?
Okay. See, this is the last thing. See, because we watched that plane one. An airplane.
Yeah.
It's not a plane, it's a train, can I?
It's not a train.
It's a monorail type thing.
It's a plane that goes up in the sky.
It's not a plane. It's not a plane, it's a train. It's a kind of monorail thing.
You're wasting 10 seconds here.
Right, okay, go for it. Right. Let's pretend for a moment that it was a plane or it was a monorail. And they mentioned the fact that it's a monorail about four times throughout.
You got some squares left. Good.
Morgan.
Right. I actually had a dream about that. I was in a plane and someone kept copying me.
Are you sure did that was a dream? That wasn't just Scott.
I was stuck in the corner and someone kept copying me while I was sleeping.
That's just Scott. That's Scott when we're on a flight.
On a monorail. Anyway, right. Shall we then, good people of the podcast world, shall we set about this insignificant episode called Turn Left, which we've never mentioned before?
I think we should call it Go West.
They were an underrated pop band. I'm not saying lockdown's been really strenuous and... oh, that's just weird.
What the heck?
I'm not saying lockdown's been really weird and tough, but I did listen to three discs of the Human League today, and that's something no one should ever have to do. I love that.
You look so young in that picture. What did you do?
You look like a former member of the Go-Go's, which, by the way, is a documentary you should really watch, if only for the plastic surgery.
This is all natural.
I'm having that. Right.
If you can make that your background with Laura, me and Morgan, and then at least live all together.
Okay, let me see if I can just work out how to do that these days.
Anyone listening to this podcast going, what is happening?
Choose background effect.
This podcast is probably thinking what's happening.
Add image.
What's happening?
Desktop.
Morgan, just move forward a second to where you were before. If we're going to do that, then I'll do it properly. There we go. If we're going to do this, I'll do it properly.
Oh, crap, man. There's.
Right, we need to position this in a certain way. To get
us
all in.
Hang on, better put me.
Can looks like a really bad music video.
Oh, that's a great.
Can he screenshot this? And of course, Jimmy.
Okay, can we change
your
background?
What happened there?
I don't know. I think as John was screenshotting, it all froze. Anyway, right. Should we set about actually watching the episode?
We should do this rather than doing stuff which nobody is ever going to realise what we're doing. And
John's just really just having fun with his fruit-based devices. Right. You sit there. There we go. Right, that's the dog on the sofa. Cat's glared at her. And we're ready. Are we ready?
Yeah, let's do it.
We are ready.
This is just going to get weirder and weirder. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, as ever, when we press play, you press play, and we will aimlessly talk you through this meaningless void of an episode, which, by the way, features Donna and Rose, which is going to be fascinating. We will watch Turn Left in 3, 2, 1, and play.
We should also mention that this is, of course, the Dr. Light episode for the season.
Is it?
Mm-hmm. Yep. David Tennant was off filming Midnight.
Ah.
To the extent that I'll point something out when it comes along. I would say something interesting, but, you know, that would be a first. I'll point something.
Yeah, don't oversell yourself. I thought we'd already had a Dr. Light episode.
No, that was Blink last year.
Yeah.
Ah, that was it.
And because it's in the past tense now, because it was last year, it's now Blunk. Blinkinated.
And what we didn't say is I was blue screening earlier, so if I just vanish again for no reason, that's why. I'll run somewhere else and go on my phone or something if that happens.
I'm sure we'll catch you up.
You were doing special effects because, of course, you know, she obviously hears me talking about blue screen as, you know, like how they filmed Superman and thinks it's the precursor to green screen.
There's an element of a callback to the talons of Wang Chieng here.
What makes you say that?
Strange Oriental people, dark and moody and weird.
Shades of Utopia as well.
Yeah.
Which was also the third last episode of season three, which led into a two-part finale too.
It was.
Yeah.
Yes, it all ties in. It's almost like it's planned.
But the spoiler, she survives this time.
Well, you say that.
We're not talking about Donna.
We're not talking about Donna.
I'm not talking about Donna.
I'm assuming it's explained how she ends up here, given that she's locked away somewhere and can't be got at.
It's just a random fortune teller. I read earlier on that it's kind of based on that Lisa's Wedding episode of The Simpsons. So Lisa finds a fortune teller, sees her future.
Yeah. They nicked you could argue they did that with Midnight and Monorail.
Monorail.
The whole thing is just Simpsons lifts.
And when Gallifrey was time locked, it was just under a giant dome.
Mm. That's the one. Well, at some point, Spider Pig turns up.
Which was in Aliens of London.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's all Dr. Simpsons.
You'll have to remind me when we get to the end of time about my bizarre Buffy the Vampire Slayer Doctor Who conspiracy theory.
Okay.
Back in the first episode of the podcast.
Do you mean literally the end of time?
Yep.
Or the episode?
When we get to the end of time, I'll talk you through the fact that the Russell T. Davis era of Doctor Who had a collection of Buffy the Vampire Slayer homages.
Did he really?
This is a long intro.
That's genius. Or you'll say, John, you need to lay off the coffee.
Oh, I could be up for a conversation about that. Well, you're right. We haven't had the opening credits yet, have we?
No, we're almost 4 minutes in.
Which way does she turn at this point? Remind me.
I don't know. If only there was a clue somewhere.
Well, I mean, having a wee look at Donna and remembering my Catherine Tate crush, I hope she heads north.
Not south.
Oh, God.
You have to say, for a Dr. Light episode, take and carry it.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
And to be honest, this is the first Dr. Light episode that the companions had to carry.
Did Rose not get one?
Rose didn't get one. Rose, the Dr. Light episode featuring Rose was Love and Monsters, which was carried by Mark Warren.
Yes.
And the only other time where the Doctor was not around, it was Father's Day. And it was only for like 10 minutes at the end of the episode. And did she carry that?
I suppose to an extent you could call the Christmas Invasion a bit of a Dr. Light episode.
Oh, I suppose so, yeah.
Yeah. But it wasn't supposed to be. It wasn't a Doctor, because that was the Doctor Light episode before there were Doctor Light episodes.
That's true, yes. I like the fact that Morgan's getting scared already by the little creepy crawly thing.
Yeah.
Wow. 5 minutes and 6 seconds to hit the...
Wow. That's...
We're still nowhere near as bad as the penultimate episode of Good Omens.
Yeah, well, that was 27 minutes in.
That was fantastic. I mean, it was actually the point that we were sitting watching it, and then the beginning credits caught around. What?
We were watching something last night, and that they did that then as well. It was the latest episode of Prodigal Son. The opening credits actually come in after the first ad break.
Is it good?
One day somebody will take the plunge, and the opening credits will be after the end credits. I look forward to that day.
It's kind of comic book, isn't it? Because sometimes I'm a bit of a comic book fan, and sometimes you actually get to the end of a comic book and then it tells you the writer's credits at the end.
Yeah, totally. I mean, some of them they'll put it in a sort of, if you've got like a collection, they'll put it like around episode 3 or 4, and that really throws you because you think, are you suddenly reading something out of sync? Have they put it in the wrong order? Is it a standalone issue that's suddenly been slotted in? It really confuses me.
How much did Noddy Holder's got off Doctor Who in royalties over the years?
Well, he hasn't had to work for a while.
Like, there's certain songs, Wizard and Slade tend to be used in Christmas episodes of Doctor Who.
Yeah.
And it's happened like 3 or 4 times.
Yep. But he also has it on Spotify, and that's netted in £4.72.
For 100 million plays?
100 million and 7 now. When he makes it to a fiver, he's going to give it to charity.
It piqued the interest of 7 people that heard about it. And went, ooh!
Those are our listeners.
Do you know what? I have to say that this is a very unrealistic impression of what a pub is like.
Yes.
If I was in a pub.
Yeah, it's mostly people just talking into each other and shouting in each other's ears, going,
Yeah, they're remarkably coherent and sober at this point.
But this is. Let's say they got to the pub at 5 o'clock. That could be a 5 o'clock in December sky.
Absolutely.
Could, yeah.
But I mean, they could still be sober.
That's certainly, it's certainly a half five.
If I was in a pub in Glasgow and someone came in, a pub in Glasgow, we were all sober, and they said, come on outside, come and have a look, it's a Christmas star, he'd get glass.
Probably would, actually. And then they'd go, yeah, but look, there's a star.
And of course, in Glasgow, there's no way anyone would be sober at 5 p.m. anyway.
No, there's a reason why this pub is set in a posher part of London.
And then you bomb them on your shoes. Which would make this a completely different episode.
Oh, yeah, set this in Glasgow, you got a very, very different episode. Where did that tank come from?
It's the tank that Mr. Saxon ordered to destroy the star. And the Runaway Bride. Second Mr. Saxon reference. So we're going a bit back now. That was between season 2 and season 3.
It was.
Because this actually takes you through the Doctor's greatest hits now.
Yeah.
It's almost like they're building up to something, isn't it?
Right, this bit here, they found a body. This is the Doctor.
It's not.
Oh, yes.
I was going to say, like, this is how Dr. Leighton said that is. That's not David Tennant's hand.
I remember being quite struck by that at the time.
I would have been more struck by it had they not spoiled the arm falling off the gurney at the end of the previous episode.
True, yes, they did. They did do that a bit, didn't they? Why is my dog wandering away?
Here comes Rose.
And then we'll probably at some point go through my mental turn left Rose theory. Which isn't that mental, because apparently other people have had it too.
That doesn't stop it being mental.
Yeah, no, absolutely. That's how cults get started.
A lot of people had the thought that voting for Donald Trump was a good idea.
Very good idea.
Oh, talking about the real world quickly. Do we all hear the news today that Steve Bannon's been indicted for funneling cash away from the Build the Wall fund?
Yes. Oops. You know, it's the sad situation where not only do I want him to be arrested and charged for it, but I also don't want any of these people to get their money back.
Well, they almost certainly won't be able to, because it's very hard to get your money out of that bank account in the Greek islands.
Win-win. That's what I call that.
That's absolutely superb. Oh, see, she's she does hold it really, really well.
I think so.
Well, we've all worked in an office. Do you know what? I really don't miss working in an office.
No, not me. It's been 20 years, but... Friends Provident 2000, I remember it.
I don't know when I'm going to be back in an office.
Well, we actually got the paperwork through the other day. And please don't laugh at this. This is serious. I'm classed as an agile worker. Yeah, me.
I'm an agile worker too.
I haven't been agile in years.
I can still limbo.
But yeah, they're not going to class me as working from home. That's a whole different set of paperwork and insurance forms. So they're classing me as an agile worker. So I have to go in the office if they ask me to. The plan is they never intend to ask me to.
Excellent.
And, not the hospital thing again.
Yeah,
the hospital.
I haven't got any better.
I'm not sure that I should mention this on a podcast that's going to go out to the nation, but I actually faked a DSE thing. You know, they make sure that your working from home environment is absolutely fine.
Yeah.
And I basically faked it because they had to do it through Teams, and it was a ton easier to fake it because I basically used the space that I'll keep using because she is actually completely 100% compliant, and I just took my laptop over to where she was while she was out at the shops, did my DSE.
Well, mine's even better than that. I think mine's a form. And is your screen big enough? Tick. Is your chair comfy? Tick. Is it adjustable? Tick. There we go. We're done.
Well. I actually did that too, and should have passed, but my boss decided to escalate it.
Oh.
My boss had the option to escalate it or not escalate it, and because I've been running about the park chasing after the kids, forgetting that I'm in my early to mid 40s. The point at one weekend where I'd done something to my neck.
Yes.
I mentioned it in passing in work, and then she rejected my DSE form and escalated it, and I just had to fake it to somebody higher up.
Well, we've all been there.
We have. Fake it, you make it.
Can we pause for a second to have a rousing rendition of Right Said Fred, Let's Have a Cup of Tea, seeing as it's Bernard Cribbins near a cup of tea?
Let's do it. No, let's
yeah. Not. Please tell me I'm not the only one that for a second there just thought of actual Right Said Fred.
Well, it's where they got the name from.
I know, but I just didn't recognise the name of the song.
I mean, I think that's what the song's called, isn't it? Right Said Fred, this ever cup of tea.
I think it's just called Right Said Fred.
Could be. Right.
So I remember we had a book of songs in our music class back in school, way back in the near and distant past. And we had that. The Urban Spaceman, and for reasons no one can yet explain to me, Golden Brown.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we used to, the teacher would hit the piano, and we would all sing along to a song about heroin.
Everyone who you've heard of over the last 3 years is dead.
What, both of them? Had Sarah Jane...
Sarah Jane's gone.
Had Sarah Jane actually died at this point?
No, she hadn't. I hope not, because she's in the next fucking episode.
That could be awkward, couldn't it?
A zombie to Sarah Jane. Yeah,
zombie. People would be up in arms. Russell T. Davis must go.
Well, we've got zombie pigs. Why can't we have a zombie Sarah Jane?
Because that's the beautiful thing about Doctor Who is RTD must go, Stephen Moffat needs to take over, and then as soon as Stephen Moffat takes over. Do you remember the good old nostalgia, like the first episode? Oh, do you remember RTD was really guiding this ship? Doctor Who's not got a chance anymore. Stephen Moffat must go.
I mean, do you think the internet is ruining fandom?
Yes.
Yes.
Because do you think people sat around in pubs
the
talking?
Is ruining everything, so yes.
Well, it's not ruining everything, because without it, we couldn't do this.
That's a fair point. But
I'm sure we can get down to you and just like pull out a tape recorder every...
start distributing tapes out like the French Resistance.
Oh, I think it'd be brilliant.
Do you know what? I'd be all over that.
But But yeah, no, we used to just hate taming the Rani in a kind of silo where we didn't know that everyone else hated it.
You just meet in a far corner of a desolate wasteland. The last band of fighters going, do you remember that terrible episode? What, the twin dilemma? No! Shoot him, Splitter!
That's made the twin dilemma look like a masterpiece.
And then someone would have said, God, imagine if there's a female doctor. See, this is, I know Billy was young when she was first Rose Tyler.
Was she young?
Well,
she was 16, like in 1998. So we're talking, she is like 28 now. Here.
Yeah, but she's.
I think she's a year younger than me. So
she appears to have aged noticeably.
In those 2 years.
In those 2 years, from being Rose to being Rose again.
Alternate dimension, isn't it?
To be fair, was she not a cult girl during that time? I mean, that must put a haunted look in your eyes.
That'll take add a few years, won't it?
I'll add a few years to you. It starts off as fun.
Well, wasn't she with Chris Evans at this point?
Yeah.
Well, that'll definitely.
No, I think that's before.
Yeah, like breaking up, divorcing Chris Evans during the season two. Did they not hit? They hit the rocks during season one, and I think they were divorcing during season two.
But that would.
And she's going, who's next? Lawrence Fox?
Got terrible taste in men, isn't she?
God, Cribbins is good in this episode.
Oh, yes. But it's the teeth. For me, it's the veneers she had whacked on her teeth that did her face in, and they stopped her being able to act.
Oh, sorry, I thought you were talking about Cribbins. Yes, it's true.
Yeah.
This episode because of the teeth.
Yeah.
In pyjamas is Bernard Cribbins, and this is the first time I've ever noticed that.
is there not certain, that's the word I'm looking for, questions to be raised about sitting around in your pyjamas with your daughter in her negligee? Are they a particularly close family?
They seem to be. Morgan's freaking out.
Morgan, there's something on your back.
Oh, don't, because she's already had problems with the monorail plane thing.
That's a good thing, right, Doctor? It just gives you the shit sometimes.
Yes, it does. Let me just go get a blanket.
Oh, here we go, spinning around again.
Titanic.
Ah, I should be so lucky.
Oh.
You weren't paying attention there, boys. Come on, pay up. Come on. I mean, I think the other reason I like Donna, apart from the fact that Catherine Tate's better than Rose Tyler, better than Billy, you've got Bernard Cribbins, and Donna's mum is a better actress than Jackie.
Oh, God, yeah.
It's weird because Jackie really should be more likeable.
Don't know how you work that one out.
No, but she should be, is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
But she's not.
It's just weird, isn't it?
Yeah. Oh, what was I going to say? It looks like, going back to the whole Big Finish thing.
Oh, dear, not again.
It does look like Billy Piper, Camille Kadoorie, and I think Noel Clark are going to be the ninth Doctor adventure as well from her.
Morgan appears to be wrapping herself up to protect herself.
There is now, in actual fact, something on her back.
Protective.
Turn left would be a lot less scary if it was just Donna wrapped up in a doobie.
Be a lot safer, wouldn't it?
Something in your back? Yeah, it's freezing.
So some jokes in this don't age particularly well. I think the fact that nobody wants to live in Leeds is just going to be timeless.
Yeah, that's you can just do that joke whenever.
Just when he said some jokes test 2021, I just thought there was a ton of racism of it to kick in.
I did think we'd maybe talked over a very off-colour gag there, but maybe we missed it. Maybe we were fine.
Just like that family that just walked in front of Donna and Wilf and Donna's mum, just started going, "Don't think much of the neighbours, eh?" Them next door.
Go on. Neighbourhood's gone right downhill, isn't it, mate, eh? Oh, look, there's a weirdly sycophantic small bulb. I think that wasn't far off.
Yeah, I just remembered now, just when this guy appears at the door, I just remembered how tragic in places this episode is.
No. This is part of the reason why I like this episode, because it goes dark as hell.
Yeah.
Very, very shortly.
See, my immediate thought was when he opened the door, and then a split second later, I realised it wasn't who I thought it was. You think, all right, can't pronounce his name now. Jalali. Thingy Jalali, I can't pronounce his first name off the top yet. Obviously wasn't available, so they got the next best thing.
Wouldn't it have been terrible if they had just actually got is it Steve Fedler from the League of Gentlemen? Come, me pop! Is that a webcam? Ah, pop! Wait, you just look back on it and you go, how the hell did
you
get away with something?
Well, to be honest, you look back at the League of Gentlemen, we were watching it at the time and kind of didn't really think to question it. And it's only you look back on it now and you go, yeah, that did go a bit too far, didn't it?
I don't know, it's questionable, some of it, yeah.
Yeah.
As you were watching the League of Gentlemen, even back then, there were times you're going, they're really pushing this.
Yeah, I think certainly the second series, they definitely plumbed new depths.
I'm a big fan of the pair of them, but there are moments I can't watch in League.
Yeah, which they've admitted themselves now, to be fair.
Definitely not as bad as Little Britain or Come Fly With Me.
Oh, God, no.
I don't remember Come Fly With Me.
Come Fly With Me.
It was dreadful.
It was dreadful. At least what
Little Britain without the charm.
Yeah, I was going to say, whatever you say about Little Britain, love it or loathe it, that it did have a certain charm about it, even when it was completely fundamentally wrong in some of the stuff they were doing. But
the thing I couldn't understand is when sensibilities woke up and moved on, there were people kicking off going, oh great, they're banning Little Britain now. It's like, mate, they haven't banned it, you can still watch it, but they're talking about not apologising and reflecting that certain sketches and characters weren't the right thing to do.
And see if the people that wrote it and starred in it said, look, we did something wrong.
Yeah.
Then I think they have to go, ah, well, right, okay, no, fair play. But if they're going, oh, bloody, they've been brainwashed, but they've been brainwashed. Oh, God, shut up.
No, why can't we black up anymore? It's all gone to hell. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, you wait till I put a picture of the minstrels behind me, though. Then we'll see.
Yeah.
To be fair, because we're on a podcast, as long as nobody mentioned it, you can absolutely do it.
Just quietly screenshot it. I hope no one notices. And that's the blackmail. That's the blackmail sorted for years to come. I've forgotten how far they did take this. Actually, it does get really bleak, doesn't it?
It gets really, really, really Brexity, yes.
What, sunlit uplands and everything being absolutely fine if you overlook the lack of wheat and penicillin?
We should actually go through every episode of Doctor Who and create a Brexit scale for it.
You know, part of the reason why Cribbins is so good is you can firmly believe that if there's a room full of people making a lot of noise and someone shouted, they would park quietly and the real Cribbins would just be there.
Absolutely.
With a pint of whiskey and a pipe.
God love him.
Oh, is this the now we've got up to the sat navs, have we?
Yeah, we're up to the current series of references now, yeah.
This is Santarans. I'll be back.
Oh, blimey.
Oh. Well, where's John gone? Oh God, I forgot how good this bit was. Very briefly, looked like an 80s rock video. It's just it's the face is all wrong.
Weirdly, though, she doesn't seem to age between this and 5 years later, the 50th.
No.
Like, she ages in these 2 years, but yeah. Then just...
stops again. Maybe she found the right level of fillers. Oh, there he is.
Sorry, yeah, I just was topping up a drink.
Right.
Don't want to make you feel bad, but we didn't actually notice you'd gone, first off.
Just Torchwood getting destroyed.
Yeah.
Was that what
basically
that was?
Basically going through all of the characters who the viewer is familiar with, killing them off one by one. I quite like it.
I like it too.
I can imagine if they did that now, it would be a 2-hour special. And some people would be having a street party when the doctor died.
And doing it in the tape and he goes back to make sure they're all okay.
Oh man, that's such a long episode.
It's got a Fellowship of the Ring, not Fellowship of the Ring, Return of the King vibe.
It really has, hasn't it? Yeah. Oh look, they've finished. Nope, he's gone again. Oh, he's finally reached the end of his... Nope, he's off.
I just switch off now they're just waiting for the Eagles to come. And the return of the King, they're kind of going, and then you just click a bit forward.
I just can't believe... I mean, it was pure fanboy what's-its that I went and watched the other two, because Sean Bean's death scene, which takes about 20 minutes... was enough of a hint of what was to come.
Absolutely. Although Sean Bean's death scene would be a great name for a band.
Really would, wouldn't it?
Where's Sean Bean's death scene? Good night!
their opening number is a 25-minute song.
Called The Departure of Boromir?
Yep. And then you need at least two slow, dirgy songs... Boromir's advice.
One does not walk into Mordor.
Their debut album is My Life is a Meme.
And then that initial confusion where people go, is that from Lord of the Rings or Game of Thrones? I love Donna.
She can... People... You kind of forget that she really can act.
Yeah, because I've said this probably about a million times now, more often than Laura's mentioned turn left. But I was filled with dread when I heard that Catherine Tate was coming. And it's really weird now because I really like The Runaway Bride, but hated it when it came out.
It felt at the time like it was a novelty episode.
Yeah.
And when I kind of read it like that, and she was a bit OTT in it because of that. And then when they brought her in permanently, it was like, oh, but...
She pulls it together at the end.
Yeah, I think she's aged well as a character as well.
Oh, gotcha. Well, name a character with better development from their first episode to the last.
Boromir.
The Doctor.
The character in Doctor Who.
Oh, right, gotcha.
The Doctor.
Oh, God, here we go.
The Brigadier.
A companion. Is it a companion?
No,
well, technically, the Brigadier would count as a companion.
I'm in a camp where I think the Brigadier's overrated.
No, you can't say that. He's dead.
I know, that's why I'm saying it. When's he going to come round?
No, you can't. His family will sue you. for bringing him up in the podcast.
That's true. What about Adric? People give Adric a hard time, but there was a well-rounded character from start to finish.
He started off as an arsehole and ended up dead.
See? That's a pretty good character arc.
The only thing that annoys me about that is the fact that, you know, they've got the kind of silent credits in Earthshock and Adric dies. And to be honest, I think they should have made the tune more upbeat.
Oh, that was calling for a jaunty tune, wasn't it? The street party.
Irish.
What about Leela? She goes from being a cave woman to understanding modern physics.
Mm.
In no way patronising manner.
Mm.
And develops clothes.
When you said Phillips clothes, I thought that she actually left the doctor to start her own clothing line.
Well, I think she had to, because there's no way she was going to find anything in the TARDIS. The doctor hid them all.
You've got George by Asda.
Oh, yes.
Sorry,
I swear Donna's mum has just totally lost everything and is broken. Sorry, I love that image.
Yeah, she's
for the right reasons, not the wrong.
Oh, John's medicine time.
John's pills. No,
that's the face of a woman who's having to listen to an official explanation by Gavin Williams. So explain to me again why the algorithm didn't work, Gavin.
There's Crabbin's back.
How has he not set fire to his telescope yet?
I just love it if every time you look through the telescope, it just turns out that Kevin's just been perving on the neighbours. Do you look up to the sky, Grandad? And if you ever see me, it's just like, oh, no, is this point up the way? Oh, this is going to go.
That's Mrs. Jones's bathroom window. She does understand how telescopes work, right?
Just look at the damn thing.
Right, so Morgan gets it.
That's a basic fundamental.
I get it, and so we just need to listen.
Yeah, you're never listening. You don't even know that we're watching. This is Doctor Who we're watching. Not yet, honey, but it'll come. I'll make you watch Twin Peaks.
I still haven't watched all of season two.
At that point, turn around and say, "Who the fuck are you?"
Yep. Was the rebooted season three of Twin Peaks worth bothering with? Have I asked before?
Oh, I love it, but do you know what? This is a Doctor Who podcast, and I will talk to you about it for about 4 hours, so we'll take that offline.
Okay, we'll do that some other time. And now we're on the back lot of the soundstage of Studio B.
This is going back to, do you remember back in the John Pertwee era, where they basically had the exterior of the TARDIS outside the TARDIS, the interior of the TARDIS outside the TARDIS, and just in a unit lab?
Yep. This little plywood box in the middle of a science lab. The TARDIS has got sturdier over the years, hasn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Donna.
Was this because Donna didn't get a proper bigger on the inside moment?
Yeah, she did.
Well, she does in the Runaway Bride, doesn't she?
She doesn't, because she appears inside the TARDIS. She doesn't have a frame of reference.
Ah, you're right, yes. She just freaked out about being in a spaceship, not about that. Yeah. Yes, you're right.
Guys, imagine a doctor just came walking in and said, "Hello, I'm the doctor."
Yeah, that would probably diminish the episode somewhat.
But Ah, I suppose because she's forgotten everything that's happened before.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm up to speed. Okay, I know what's going on. I've forgotten.
Oh.
Going off a complete tangent, do you, either of you still read Pop Bitch?
No.
No, only when you give us extracts from it, I go, ooh!
Well, there's an entirely unrelated Doctor Who one today about the fact that when Louise Redknapp was presenting whatever cookery show it was on Sundays on Channel 4, the production crew had to give her a full run-through of whatever recipe they were doing that week and have her taste it first. This came about after she tried to eat an oyster raw, still in its shell.
What, she tried to eat the actual shell as well?
Yeah, she went to... We're going to be cooking oysters this week, Louise, and she picked one up and tried to eat the shell. So they decided they had to give her a full run-through of how the actual food would look when cooked, and that's what the bit you ate.
I love oysters.
I've only ever had them once, and I never saw what the fuss was about. I was having far more fun with the martini cocktails. It was a James Bond evening.
I was just asking for a...
Yeah, it really was, wasn't it?
I remember.
Morgan remembers, finally. She's like Donna.
Hi.
You wish.
It's a terrible looking prop.
That really isn't it. It was going well until now it looks like a cheap backpack.
It's like the shark in Jaws, just the less small.
Yeah. In my head, it's a homage to Planet of the Spiders.
Mm.
It's definitely an homage to every bad 70s and 80s show.
Because this is one of the good things about Morgan has this brilliant thing.
Morgan's doing an impression of the Ice Warriors.
Well, it's like ET right now. But this is one of the great things. Watching Doctor Who with Morgan just reminds me sometimes that no matter how bad the effects are, kids fill in the blanks sometimes.
Yeah.
So we watch this and go, oh, for God's sake. And then the kids actually see the potential of what this could have been. We've watched some kind of stuff with really dodgy special effects in the past, and Morgan's been enraptured because she sees so much more out of it than I do, and I kind of find that she lets her imagination kick in.
I think that's true, actually, because I mean, I remember as I mentioned before, I'm going back all through the Battle of the Planets cartoons, which weren't great at the time, but when I was a kid watching it, it was amazing. And the fact that you've got the same scene played out in about three different episodes just to fill out time.
Yeah.
Didn't matter. Didn't care. Didn't notice. It's only now watching it as an adult, you go, hang on, we had that last week and 2 weeks ago and all the rest of it. So sometimes it's just more fun to be a kid.
Yeah, I think so. Morgan's away. Morgan's freaking out here. It's great.
This is what Doctor Who should do to kids. This is brilliant.
She's not ready for it. Yeah, but I don't think you get as much out of it because they're pretty blatant and they don't leave a lot to your imagination. So it's a bit crap as a consequence.
What's up?
It's better. Trying to convince Morgan reading's better than watching stuff because your imagination kicks in and it freaks you out.
Oh, yeah, totally. I mean, I've always found, like, Psycho. Mm. Everyone talks about Psycho, the shower scene being the really scary scene. I don't think it is. I think it's the scene where she's driving, convinced that someone's following her. And that is done so well. That what you can't see is what scares you, and that's much better.
Absolutely. I also have to say I've got a very soft spot for the scene where I can't remember the character's name, gets pushed down the stairs.
Yeah.
Is he not stabbed and then... I can't remember exactly. I need to rewatch it.
I've only even seen it once.
Much better film.
Same as North by Northwest, there's actually no real violence in North by Northwest, but the chase through the cornfield is really, really gripping.
Body.
Yeah.
Again, been parodied by The Simpsons.
I think that's been parodied by most things. I mean, that even gets parodied in Midsummer Murders.
Yeah, I've just realised is there not an episode of South Park called Simpsons Did It?
Probably yeah. is.
There was somebody behind Rose at that point when she said it's up to you, and it looked like he was like supposedly twiddling dials, but it looked like someone doing a really bad sock puppet behind
him. Yes.
just like when she said, "Well, that's up to you," and you could see this hand going, "It's up to you."
For crying out loud, Rose, try and look something different. Not just permanently confused.
Well, you'll find it in a minute, Donna. Shut it.
Yeah, stop going. Stop banging on, love. Just go and turn your car.
Ooh. I'm above it. Poor Donna. Honestly, do you know what? The last three episodes of season four of Doctor Who are just brimming with tragedy.
They really are, aren't they? This is why Laura likes it. See, Laura doesn't like having fun and enjoying herself. Laura just likes wallowing.
I mean,
it's a real kind of wham bam bam with the last three episodes because you get this happening with Donna. Right, okay, I'm obviously not going to go into specifics yet because it's not happened. And then you've got the end of episode 12, and then you've got the end of the finale, and you're like, fucking hell.
Yep, it's just relentless.
Yeah, love it. Because you, Russell T. Davis went quite dark at the end.
Mm-hmm. Wow, he knew he was leaving, he didn't care anymore.
Yeah.
Well, pretty much from now, with the exception of Waters of Mars and The Next Doctor, it's just dark all the way.
Yeah.
Well, Waters of Mars is quite dark.
Yeah, is it now?
Well, you get the end of the Waters of Mars is really dark.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah. Planet of the Dead, I would say, is your kind of breath of fresh air.
Sorry, it's Planet of the Dead I was thinking.
Yeah. The Next Doctor's kind of, hey, Christmas, and then Planet of the Dead's, hey, Easter, and Waters of Mars, and then the Time's a bit kind of...
Yeah, no, Waters of Mars is that.
Yeah. End of Time is quirky in some respects and quite, in others. I mean, we'll get to that. We'll stop now. This is a fantastic episode that I feel we should talk about it more.
That's a very nice Hyundai coupe sitting there. It was a Mitsubishi, wasn't it? That's the bit I was taken away from that. It was a rather nice sports car. Might have even been an FTO. I would rewind and check, but I can't do that.
It's great.
I'm glad they reuse the "you just won a man" quotes. I'm glad they use that here.
Yep.
One of the things I like about this is the fact that the Donna you see here and the Donna that's sitting in the car look like two different people.
Yeah.
Which is brilliant. I mean, and I know they do that a lot and stuff, but the Iceland managed to do it very successful here. The Donna that gets in front of that truck just looks like a different person.
And here's someone looking exactly like he normally does these days. Still looking confused. Dead behind the eyes, that's the thing.
That's what happens when you marry Lawrence Fox.
That's true, yeah.
Evans. She clearly, because she's a time traveller, thought she was going to marry Captain America and ended up marrying a ginger DJ.
I don't remember which storyline the mushroom cloud comes from.
This one.
No, but was that not a callback to another?
It's Titanic. It's what happens if the Titanic actually hit.
So it doesn't. You don't see it in any other episode. You only see it as Buckingham Palace.
And then there's a, but they can't have seen. They can't have seen Buckingham Palace from where that hotel was. With the viaduct.
To be honest, that would have been a better result. Then we wouldn't have got the thank you, doctor.
That's true. Yes.
Of the dam. So.
Yeah.
Again, I think I mentioned this before, but the Queen, the voice of the Queen, that says thank you, Doctor, played Mags, the werewolf in The Greatest Show in the Galaxy.
I think you did mention that before. I didn't believe you then either.
Yeah, still true.
Nah, I reckon it's aren't you making it up?
Now the trickster's a character that I would like to come back because I thought that was the best episode of Sarah Jane.
Adventures, wasn't it?
Huh?
The trickster was a character from the Sarah Jane Adventures.
Yeah, and the best episode of Sarah Jane Adventures as well.
I've never sat down and actually watched all of those.
First couple of series. But is it Maria's in the first series and then they dump her off because she had horrendous attitude problems? That series, okay. Second series is very good.
Oh, okay.
And then it kind of tails off.
Is that when they replace her with the Rani?
That's when they replaced her with the Rani, yeah.
I mean, I'm still upset they didn't make more of. Was it K-9 and Friends? She only got they only did the pilot episode.
The Company, K-9.
That's it. That was a terrible theme tune, but really good.
Best theme tune ever.
I have a signed picture from John Leeson somewhere. I've got no idea what happened to that. It was years ago.
Who?
The voice of K-9.
Oh.
Remember what it said tail wags from your friend John Leeson.
Oh,
which was weird because he's actually not the dog.
Which if he wasn't playing a robotic dog would sound really sinister.
So what you're actually saying was he was nicer at a signing session than Russell T. Davies.
On a scale of John Leeson to Russell T. Davies, how good was your experience?
Yes, that's kind of my well, it's one of the few celebrities that I've never made a complete arse of myself in front of, so.
I didn't know that.
Margaret just said, what did you say? Margaret just yelled, bad wolf. Right, okay, so here's what I feel the need to kick in here and tell you my theory about this episode is that Rose wasn't in this one, but it was actually Bad Wolf.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
Yeah, which would make sense.
Yep.
Yeah.
Because Rose's name is not mentioned once.
Although Rose is wearing the same clothes that she does in the next couple of episodes, I think that this is a projection of Rose from the season one finale because she could see all of time and all of space. And I think she appears in this episode as Bad Wolf and also replaces the moment in the Day of the Doctor.
I think that you are A, onto something.
I think you are.
And B, totally wrong because I don't believe that Russell T. Davies could produce anything that in-depth and complicated. He is not Stephen Moffat.
But what if Stephen Moffat was involved in the background?
It actually works if you watch this episode thinking that Rose isn't in it and it's actually Rose with the embodiment of the Bad Wolf in her at the end of season one.
Yeah.
You can see all of time and space and actually knowing what's going to happen manipulates events so that her kind of time canon-y thing works and Donna fixes history for it to happen.
Yeah.
And then also gives the Doctor redemption later on in Day of the Doctor. So in that kind of split second where she can see everything and she has the power to change everything, including sending the Bad Wolf message everywhere and doing shit that she shouldn't be able to do, she just fixes the Doctor's entire kind of timeline.
Yeah, no, that works for me. That definitely works. Yeah. I have to say, after all the hype and all the fuss and all the isn't that an amazing episode, we're all going to laugh and we're all going to just rip it to bits just to annoy Laura. That's a bloody good episode, isn't it?
I love it. I think it's a cracking episode.
Mm-hmm.
That's an absolute belter.
I think it's a better Doctor Light episode than Blink. And I love Blink.
That's a tough call.
I love Blink.
Do I think it's a better episode? Bear in mind, I do think it is my favourite episode, but, like, there's a difference, what with, you know, like, opinions being subjective, whether me thinking it is my favourite, whether I think it is also better.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I suppose it depends on your frame of mind as well.
See, I still love Blink, absolutely love it, and I love Carey Mulligan in it because she's such a good actress. And that's where that edges it slightly for me.
I think for me, the reason I think it's a better episode is the fact that it's a lot more kind of pivotal to what's going to happen next.
Yeah.
Blink, you know what I mean? Blink is a kind of, almost like Blink's your best kind of standalone episode. But
yes.
Pips it to the fact that it actually contains kind of legacy material, if you will.
Yeah, this is more story arc rooted, isn't it? Just had a thought, actually. Your bad wolf theory, I think that could, I'm being kind here, explain Billy's performance.
Nothing can explain Billy's performance, but yeah, it's all right. To be fair, I think that one of the reasons I think that works as well is the character that Billy Piper plays in this episode seems a ton more knowledgeable than she then plays in the subsequent two-parter.
Yeah, true.
The next two episodes, Rose doesn't have a fucking clue what's going on.
Which is normal.
She's been blasted through into that. There's certain things that happen in this episode that can't be explained away when you then use it as part of a kind of three-parter. Rose jumps into the kind of two-part finale as Rose with nary a clue as to what's going on. And there's stuff that she seems to kind of be aware of and knowledgeable of in this episode that she couldn't possibly know unless there was some sort of, dare I say it, Deus Ex Machina at work. And it feels to me like she's playing a different character than she is in the next two episodes.
Totally. But yeah, that is... It's got everything, isn't it? Because it's got legacy, it's got grit, it's got drama, it's got tension, and it's got Donna's It's Bigger on the Inside moment.
Yeah. It's a brilliant episode. I love it. I rate this as one of my favourites.
I think that's... Oh, I hate to admit it when Laura's right.
What has just happened? That's a bloody annoying thing.
Not as annoying as someone playing around with his devices when he's still on a podcast, but never mind.
I'm plugging it in.
Just in time for us to go.
Now that I disappeared.
Just in time for us to say goodbye. So where are we at now? We're in the final run-in now, aren't we?
We're in the final run-in. Tennant has got 6 episodes left.
Are we doing all 6?
No, we are not doing that. But the one that John said earlier on, see, I put it from the back of my mind because it's not an episode I enjoy. It's got Lee Evans in it.
Ah, that's a good enough reason not to do it.
Planet of the Dead, which led to a big finished spin-off.
Yeah.
Planet of the Not Dead.
However, we did say that we're going to do the animated episode.
Oh, Dreamworld.
Yeah. Because I've never seen it.
Well, okay, we'll have to work out how we find out.
We were going to do that between Waters of Mars and End of Time.
Excellent. Look forward to that. Right, so, has Morgan gone into hiding now?
I think Morgan's gone off just to say goodnight to her mum, whoever she is. I don't know who the mother is. I think she has, but also Jen, which I think is quite cool. I think that's the first time Morgan's been quite genuinely freaked out.
I was going to say that's the other thing I loved about this episode is actually watching it with someone who's of Doctor Who age, if you like, which we're way beyond, and seeing her reaction and seeing her get freaked by it was, I'm going to say, beautiful, but in as much as it was real and in the moment, and that was her very very genuine reaction to what she was seeing.
You're really desperate to say the word hilarious, aren't you?
I'm trying not to. I'm trying to appear sympathetic and empathetic, but it was funny.
Morgan was just arguing with her brother.
Ah, that's fine. That's normal then.
Right, we'll talk about that offline. I'm sure we don't need it for the podcast. I think it was quite cool. And I know that it's cool for you to be saying that, but maybe less cool for me to be saying that.
Well,
I remember it was, I think Capaldi had, so it was the start of the Capaldi run that we started watching Doctor Who together,
yeah,
from Christopher Eccleston through. And I think it was just when Capaldi started, and then we got through the Eccleston, Tennant, Smith and Capaldi era just in time for Twice Upon a Time.
Yeah.
And I think Twice Upon a Time was the first episode of Doctor Who that Morgan and I watched together live. and then from there, he regenerated into Jodie Whittaker. Peter Capaldi just went thump, and then you could see Morgan going, and then he said, oh, Nick, you know, she probably thought she could watch the next episode tomorrow.
Yeah.
And we're like, oh, no, this is good. And it was that, and it's been really weird because up until that point, we were rattling through them. We weren't watching it every night, but you were getting through a couple of episodes a week sort of thing.
Yeah.
And I mean quite consistently. And then we were suddenly in a situation where like, well, this is only on 10 weeks a year now and not even every year. And it was just a bit of a... I think she's almost excited about the point where Scott can start watching again. Then she can start rattling.
See, that's the thing, isn't it?
We're going to have to restart the podcast, aren't we?
Yes, do it all again. Same list. Off we go. Because that's one of the things, you kind of get used to binge-watching stuff. And then, because we've had this year with both Money Heist and Snowpiercer. We've come to them late, dived in, hoovered them up. And then we've caught up. And suddenly you've got a week and 2 weeks where you've got to wait for an episode. It's like, who does that shit anymore?
Yeah, no, absolutely.
But
I've actually started, you know, if there's stuff that's on kind of weekly,
yeah,
I'll wait till the kind of penultimate episode and then start going through them, and then you almost get to see them all.
I have to do exactly the same.
The one for me was Breaking Bad. I watched the first season of Breaking Bad. When it came on, it was on Channel 5, and then they didn't get the second season, and I almost kind of forgot Breaking Bad. And then, of course, it was on Netflix, and someone said, oh, Breaking Bad. And I went, the first season was all right. It didn't blow me away. There were a couple of quite good bits in it. And they said, stick with it. And then it was when the second part of the finale, the final season came on.
Yeah.
And I think they were in the third last episode. And I went, oh, I'll go through it. And sure enough, I watched the finale at the same time as them, having just rattled through every single episode.
I think some series benefit from that, because there was Babylon Berlin, it was a weird 40s.
Yeah, you know, it was on my watch list and I didn't watch it.
I went hurtling through season one, loved it. Started on season two, got distracted, didn't go back to it for ages. And when I went back to it, it's like, oh man, I've got to plod through all this.
Yeah.
So when you get into the pacing of something, you just go and go and go and go and go. You kind of buy into it. But when you go, if you go away from some things and you come back into it, you go, meh, what am I watching this for? Anyway, right, before we wander off down that rabbit hole, we can save that for another conversation. That was Turn Left. What are we doing next?
We're doing the Stolen Earth, aren't we?
Yeah. Doing the Stolen Earth. And will Morgan be as scared by that one?
No.
Oh, that's a shame.
She may have burst out in laughter at some of the more silly bits.
Yeah.
Like, I'm pretty sure that Morgan has a basic understanding of astrophysics more so than Russell T. Davis, who believes that the Earth can be transported through space with no repercussions whatsoever.
That sounds pretty reasonable.
That's next time.
Potentially be dragged back. Because if the transport over didn't come...
That's the episode after, so yeah. We'll go there.
I saw a documentary about that sort of thing. What you just do is you go at a certain speed and you slingshot yourself around the sun and you end up in 1980 San Francisco. All the way from the year 2046 or whatever it is.
Well, I'm even thinking this in a kind of more simple version of that, just Superman. Every time something bad happens, Superman. And But you never do that again.
Where are you finding this stuff, Laura? Now Morgan's fascinated again.
I'm scared to say what I think the next word is in case.
I mean, I didn't realise I was writing on it when I...
Right, well, while the new tidies up, we are going to head our separate ways and then reconvene to watch Stolen Earth. In the meantime, over there with the ever-changing background, which really works so well on an audio medium, has been the lovely Laura Monmouth.
Ta-ra.
And over on the other side has been the getting a slightly piddled Mr. Carruthers.
Bye.
And an incredibly terrified Morgan.
Bye-bye.
That was Turn Left, arguably the second best episode ever made ever. In the meantime, we will see you again very soon. Bye.
Bye.